Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is about COVID and the vaccines and the masks, and of course, what we can learn from God's Word about this whole situation. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, "But solid food belongs to the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." I've been researching this whole issue for quite some time, checking the claims on both sides of the story. Back in December, Dr. Peter Bragan and a number of other physicians put their research together into this book called COVID-19, The Global Predators, We Are the Prey. So you can guess where he stands on this whole situation. He sees the COVID-19 and the vaccines as a grand conspiracy against the people. Quote, "We have uncovered how a loose but coordinated array of billionaires, tech companies, public health schools and authorities, major worldwide corporations and their allies have been planning for at least 4 years to make a financial killing on what they define and repeatedly predicted as the inevitable and soon to arrive pandemic. 4 years ahead of time, the globalists began making massive marketing expenditures to prepare the world for accepting dangerously rushed vaccination programs in the future. The propaganda splurge was stunning. Before 2017 was over, they were already predicting and preparing the world specifically for a COVID SARS pandemic through which to impose their vaccines on humanity at the first opportunity." And that's quite a claim, but the evidence is convincing. For example, Anthony Fauci stated back in 2017 that before Trump's first 4 years would be over, there would be a worldwide COVID pandemic. How did Anthony Fauci know that? He's not a prophet. Well, it just so happens that he was working on and funding gain-of-function research on a virus, making it more lethal to the public. And it looks like these medical people involved in virus research, in political leadership, and in the pharmaceutical industry, were acting as both the arson and the fireman, starting a disease in order to cure disease. But lo and behold, their science wasn't up to the task of curing the disease. These vaccines have been a real failure. In this book, I see Bragan describing Fauci and these vaccine scientists like the villains in a James Bond movie, Spectre. I mean, you know the image, the evil villain is petting his cat, and then he goes into a long monologue on why he needs to save the world from itself. How he needs to save the world from overpopulation, from pollution, from disease, by bringing some disaster upon the world to fix everything. But of course, the villain never sees his actions as being evil. He sees it as the greater good. He claims to be righteous. He claims to be the Nietzsche Uberman who will save humanity. Well, even though those movies create an over-the-top caricature of the evil villain, these people really do exist in this world. And Anthony Fauci and his cohorts look like prime candidates in that they funded gain-of-function research to create a supervirus that they assumed that nature would produce on its own. And therefore, they convinced governments to spend billions to prepare for a pandemic. It gave them a purpose. It gave them an enemy to fight, a way to advance their careers, to put their achievements in the eye of the public, a way to be scientific heroes. Don't underestimate the twisted motives of the unsaved. Even unsaved people with PhDs in front of their name. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 7. This applies to everyone. Their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. And they do not know the way of peace. There is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. I appreciate Dr. Peter Bragan having the conviction to call evil evil and to not pull any punches. But he could use an entire chapter explaining how subtle and deceiving evil can be. It's not as if Fauci himself is aware of his own misdeeds. When one has a wrong worldview concerning man and sin and redemption, one can be totally convinced that evil is good. It's so subtle that even Christians are confused and deceived because we have a hard time believing that someone can be so sincere, so wanting to help, and yet be totally wrong. This is an aside, but check out this piece. Nancy Pelosi saying how her party, the Democrat Party, is the epitome of goodness, even though the party supports immoral godlessness.
Here's the thing. I say to my members on a regular basis, when we gather in caucus, and as you know, sometimes it's hybrid these days, but anytime we have gathered in caucus, one way or actually virtually or hybrid, I've said to them, under this roof, figuratively or actually, is the greatest collection of intellect, integrity, and imagination for doing the right thing for the American people.
So she calls her Democrat caucus the greatest collection of intellect, integrity, and imagination for doing the right thing for the American people. And yet they support globalism, open borders, abortion, transgenderism, homosexual behavior, homosexual marriage, etc., etc. I've explained this before, but what's going on here is that when your morals are on the wrong foundation, they seem right because they're consistent with that foundation. The morals on the left are on the foundation of personal freedom, not on the foundation of God's moral law. So for the left, what is right is what will bring man the most personal freedom and autonomy. And freedom looks like a great value, doesn't it? And that's why Pelosi can say that our party has integrity and does what's right for the American people. It's consistent, but her ideology is on the platform of Satan. Well, the same holds true for Fauci and his constituency. These people may think they're the paramounts of virtue, medical heroes caring for the public, but they're working off of the wrong worldview. And all of us, before we repent and come to Christ, have false beliefs. We may think we're the epitome of virtue, but the Spirit of God shows us that our whole being, our whole way of looking at the world is an error. And seeing that and admitting that takes a miracle from God. Well, I'll be discussing more about the Fauci mindset at the end of this program, because that's the bigger story here. A bigger story than vax or no vax, mask or no mask. I hope you realize that what we're seeing is a battle over two conflicting worldviews, two different spirits, and it foreshadows a greater conflict to come. People have called the current COVID-19 narrative Fauciism, because it looks like a religion. It's a set of principles based upon a certain faith in man, in science, and the system. And those who hold to that religion, Fauciism, lean toward certain government policies and solutions to COVID-19. Those who operate on different principles are pushing back against these government policies and solutions. Just realize that the two sides in this debate are not due to circumstantial peripheral issues. This goes very deep. This is very theological. And that's why it's so difficult to convince those on the other side. They have a certain faith in science and man that's permeating their whole being. And when you criticize their policy, you're criticizing their very faith in mankind. And that's why they get so defensive and angry. And that's why they want their opponents to be silenced, because it's an attack on their faith in man. It's like an iceberg. You only see 10% of the iceberg above the surface, but the other 90% is beneath the water. Beneath these COVID policies is a huge belief system. And that's why it's such a tough nut to crack. So the bigger story here is this bigger worldview that we can call Fauciism. The second big story, which is very related, is the fact that the leftist media is carrying water for Fauciism because they operate on the same faith in man. We can be in a situation where the predominant personalities in the media have been duped by the current popular narrative of the day. In this case, the narrative put out by the NIH and the CDC and influential voices in the medical and pharmaceutical communities. These people are calling the opponents of the masking, the lockdowns of vaccines and the mandates, spreaders of misinformation. At the World Economic Forum last week, Fauci answered a question about how sometimes it feels like big pharma companies are taking advantage of the COVID-19 situation. So here is his answer. Fauci said, "There will always be those who disagree because there are some inherent non-believers that no matter what you say, they're going to give you a real problem." You know, one of the things that I believe the entire world is facing, but we certainly are facing it in a very disconcerting way in the United States, is the amount of disinformation that is accompanying what should be a problem where everyone pulls together against a common enemy, which is the virus. We have disinformation that is entirely destructive to a comprehensive public health endeavor. And I'm not sure how we're going to account for that, except by getting out as much correct information as we possibly can and use social media in a positive way, as opposed to in a somewhat destructive way that it is being used right now. He went on to say we must use social media in a positive way to convince inherent non-believers. Non-believers in what? In his faith in science, in his faith, in his program. But maybe Fauci and these world leaders are the ones spreading disinformation, and their opponents are necessary checks and balances. What becomes the popular narrative in any age can be wrong. There are many scientists and physicians who are opposing the current response to COVID-19. But they're either being silenced or they're afraid to speak up for fear of having their license revoked. For some reason, Fauciism has become the orthodox religion among the elite class, and everyone who says otherwise is a heretic. Now, that wouldn't be such a problem if one could debate or question Fauciism, COVID policy. But no, if you even question it, you're considered a danger to public health, and you're thrown off of major social media platforms. This week, I cannot post my program on YouTube. Otherwise, my channel will be taken down. I'm on my third strike, and with three strikes, you're out. So I can only post the video version of this program on Rumble.com. Now, I understand the argument that it's compromise to play their game and self-censor in order to keep up one's YouTube channel. But the contrary argument is that by gradually moving off of YouTube, we can introduce people to check out these platforms. Rumble, Brighteon, Gab, Substack. I see many leading conservative voices are now splitting their content between YouTube and Rumble to slowly move their audience off of YouTube and onto these other platforms. Of course, YouTube doesn't like that, but that's the plan. So this is a very scary state of affairs when people are not allowed to question government policy. Because it's very possible and historically probable that the government is wrong and that the government is lying. But what then when the media backs those lies and the social media censors any dissent? The information systems necessary to expose corruption in a society are silenced, and therefore the public's deluded. So that's why I say that this whole story is about more than just vax or anti-vax or mask or anti-mask. This is a totalitarian spirit. This is about mass public groupthink. Even as the rocker Eric Clapton just recently said, this is mass psychosis. He took the vaccine and he had a adverse reaction that nearly killed him. Bet you didn't hear that on the nightly news. This whole issue really does foreshadow the apocalypse. The great delusion that will someday come upon the world, that will be the ultimate mass psychosis formation. I'm not saying that COVID policy is the apocalypse, but that it foreshadows and reminds us of that future day. Imagine if this same silencing that has taken place right now over COVID dissent happens when globalists bring in a worldwide government for the health and the safety of humanity, where all dissension will be censored, silenced, even persecuted, because you cannot question the experts. Even if the anti-maskers and the anti-vaxxers are wrong, they shouldn't be silenced just out of the need to put a check on authoritarian power. And besides, the science really is not settled on all this, as some make it out to be. You know, in Revelation 13, we see the whole world following the narrative of the Antichrist system. And if you object, you're locked out of your bank account. Revelation 13 is about the future, but it has a timeless application for every century. In every century, very often, truth has been suppressed by the spirit of the age. What in German is called the Zeitgeist, the defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history, as shown by the ideas and the beliefs of the time. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that it's coming and now is already in the world. For example, spirit of Nazism, the totalitarianism that overcame Germany in the 1930s like a cloud. All of a sudden, the German people were Google-eyed over Hitler, infatuated with the power, with the prospects of human advancement. Last week, I watched again that old movie, The Great Escape, 1963, Steve McQueen. It was based on a true story. And it was evident in the movie that the German prison camp commandant hated Nazism, the whole Heil Hitler thing. But there was nothing he could do about it because the country was possessed by Nazism, completely duped by the delusion. So he just wanted to lay low and wait out the war. Reminds me of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, where Habakkuk says, I must wait for a people to invade us. Sometimes God's people feel that way when a nation is overcome by a grand delusion. Now, some may say that I'm just overreacting to all this. This is just about masks and vaccinations. What's the big deal? But I have a gut feeling that this is a big deal. The silencing of even legitimate concerns over COVID-19 policy should alarm everyone. I want to hear if the government vaccine adverse reaction website, VAERS, reported that 20,000 people died of the vaccine. I don't want the CDC to tell me, just ignore that and do what you're told to do because the cure is worth the risk. I want to hear if masks are useless, if children get more disease from dirty masks than they would otherwise. I want to hear all the evidence that COVID-19 was a lab leak. But as it is, internal emails show that Fauci wanted that information suppressed because, in his opinion, it might hurt international relations. Political ideology is driving medical policy. There are some very strange things going on being perpetrated by social leaders who have too much power and who have too much faith in their own infallibility. Hence, Dr. Bragan in his book and many others are calling these people global predators. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And one thing we know as Christians, given man's fallen nature, we ought to be suspicious of power. Don't trust man. Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God. Now, that is not saying we should not avail ourselves to medical science, but it's still a general principle, a warning. Now, I have a lot of information in front of me. I really don't know where to begin or how to even organize this material. So let me just list for you some undeniable facts that should raise alarms. First, we should find it quite bizarre that if you have had COVID, people are being told they still need to get the vaccine to go to work, to go to restaurants, to go to school. And it's not as if doctors can't test for the antibodies. They can. Medically, it's a fact that if you have had COVID, your body has developed way more and way better antibodies than if you have been vaccinated. Scientifically, there really is no benefit to being vaccinated if you've already had the virus. In the CDC's medical documentation for the MMR vaccine, which is the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, if you've had those diseases, you are exempt from getting the vaccine because all physicians know that getting the live virus creates as much, if not more, immunities than getting the vaccine, getting a dead virus. But when it comes to COVID-19, the 68 million Americans who have already had COVID are still required to get vaccinated. Why? It makes no medical sense. The only conclusion one can come to is that Big Pharma has a lot of money to make by pushing these COVID vaccines. They don't want natural immunities to get in the way of their business. And, or political ideologues don't want to lose control to lose the vaccine mandate momentum. Prime example, the tennis player Novak Djokovic, he was not allowed to play in the Australian Open, and his visa was revoked because he wasn't vaccinated. But he had just gotten over COVID, and medically, and according to Australia's own COVID rules, one is not supposed to get vaccinated after just getting COVID. But he was still kicked out of the country. And the reason? Not because he might spread COVID, but because he might in some way influence others to resist getting the vaccination, quote, he has upended social norms, which would have a great political and social cost. That's not science. That's an agenda. That's a religion. What we might call tenets of Fauciism, where everyone has to get vaccinated, otherwise the vaccination program might lose its social mandate. A second bizarre policy is the vaccination of children. From the very beginning, children were not seriously at risk from COVID. For whatever reason, children were not being hospitalized or dying of COVID. Oh, there are plenty of children hospitalized with other ailments with COVID. But there were no reported cases of children seriously affected by COVID. Here's a 2020 article from the Mayo Clinic. Kids in COVID-19, why they are not getting as sick. And I could cite hundreds of other studies and articles in this regard. Children were developing natural immunities to COVID, like they develop, you know, natural immunities to other viruses. It was the elderly most affected by COVID-19. But back in the fall of 2021, the pharmaceutical companies, in conjunction with the CDC, started pushing these vaccines upon children. And you can't help but think that since these pharmaceutical companies had ramped up vaccine production, had vaccines to sell, now they were looking for a whole new segment of the population, the 74 million children in America, who were potential customers. And the government was paying these companies billions of dollars to distribute more vaccines. One has to suspect a profit motive. And I'm sure it was easy for the CDC and Big Pharma to justify this. Hey, even though these children are not at great risk, the vaccines won't hurt much. It might actually help someone. And the extra profits will help continue vaccine research. So, as long as we have these vaccines, let's support the vaccines rather than the option of herd immunity and natural immunity solving the problem. Since these people are all about vaccines, they weren't interested in talking about natural immunities. It's like that old saying, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, especially when you get $40 per nail from the government. Peter Daszak, the head of EcoHealth Alliance, which makes its money by getting grants from governments and then transferring that money to various organizations to do virus research. EcoHealth Alliance administers more than $100 million in federal grant money. So back in 2015, EcoHealth Alliance was ramping up for a vaccine movement. Quote from Daszak, "We need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issue. Investors will respond if they see profits at the end of the process." Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, 2015. Bragan lists Daszak as one of the global predators. So, do you see why people are suspicious of the whole vaccine rollout? Another bizarre policy is that these politicians and school administrators were putting masks on all of the children. Children who weren't even greatly affected by COVID. You put 20 children in the classroom for a couple of hours, and regardless of masks, they've all breathed the same air. The efficacy of masks is so small, it's not even worth the hassle. Even Dr. Fauci and the CDC said that masks have very little effect at preventing the spread of COVID. That was the CDC guidance at the beginning of 2020. But then masks became a lucky charm, something people could do to make themselves feel like they were doing something. And so everyone jumps on the masking bandwagon. There's a knockdown, drag-out fight in New York State right now concerning the requirement for all school children to wear masks. On Tuesday, a judge in Long Island ruled that the mask mandate in New York State violates the New York State Constitution the governor didn't have authority to put the mandate in place. That was the job of the legislature. But then a few hours later, another judge put a stay on that judge's ruling. So the masks went back on the children. See, the governor is fighting for these mask mandates because she is convinced of this narrative that the masks make a big difference. But when you look at the data, states without mask mandates have less cases of COVID than states with mask mandates. Now, that's just a general overview. The CDC came out with a contrary study that states that there were more COVID-19 cases in children where schools didn't wear masks. And all of the media outlets like CNN and ABC and MSNBC ran with that story. But once you look into the details, it's a whole different story. Out of 100,000 children, schools with mask mandates, there were 16 cases of COVID. No mask mandates, there were 35 cases. Now, if you know anything about statistics, that is statistically insignificant. 16 over 100,000 is only 0.00016 of a difference. Nevertheless, the media reported COVID cases twice as high in counties with no mask requirement. Like Mark Twain once said, there are three kinds of lies: black lies, white lies, and statistics. Plus, even that 16 case difference is suspect because the CDC manipulated the numbers by factoring in whether the school district was highly vaccinated or not vaccinated. Before Pfizer got emergency approval for their vaccine, they tested 40,000 people over 6 months. 38 people died in the vaccine group. 17 died in the unvaccinated group. The difference is also statistically insignificant because it tells us nothing directly about the vaccine. Those people could have died from anything. But what it does tell us is that the vaccines did not prevent any more deaths. You would think, since COVID was going around, that these vaccines would have resulted in a significant better mortality rate overall. But they did not. Yet that was the study that was the basis for the CDC's approval of the vaccines. To quote the website Just Facts, those mortality figures provide the only reliable measure of the vaccine's greatest benefits and risk, because they're unambiguous and enumerate the worst possible outcome: death. Now, there are a whole lot of other factors to be considered in those statistics, but I just want us to realize how questionable statistics can be. We have most of Americans now vaccinated, and yet 2,100 people are dying every day with COVID, and more vaccinated people are being hospitalized and dying than unvaxxed here in America and in the world. Here's another suspicious policy. Yale professor Dr. Harvey Risch and University of California's Dr. Aaron Carity and Dr. Peter McCullough filed a Freedom of Information Act request asking the FDA for Pfizer vaccine data for their group, the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency. They filed a lawsuit requesting the data in September. In November, the FDA told the court that it had found 329,000 pages of information, but it would like to release just 500 pages each month, giving it until 2076 to complete the request. That's 55 years. Yet, the FDA only took 10 weeks to review all of that data before it approved the vaccine. The FDA is trying to hide something. Most likely, they're trying to hide something for what they would call the greater good, to hide the real truth about these messenger RNA vaccines. So I hope you realize that these vaccines have been a real disappointment for the scientists and for politicians. They're not living up to expectations. The proponents of these vaccines are now scrambling to save face and to save business. We haven't heard it described in those terms, but that's really what's going on. The vaccine came with the promise of immunity. But now the majority of people with COVID have been vaccinated. So the CDC and the pharmaceutical companies are saying you now need a second booster shot and a third booster shot and a fourth shot. Yet even the CEO of Pfizer and even Fauci himself both said recently that the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, gives very limited protection, if any, against the Omicron variant. So have you ever heard of a vaccine that requires constant boosters, one in which you can be vaccinated and still get the disease and still be a carrier of the disease? So the only argument that the pharmaceutical companies have left is that if you get vaccinated, when you get COVID, it won't be as serious. But even that's debatable. It's all how you want to play with the numbers. The FDA has even changed the definition of vaccine in order to accommodate and include the COVID-19 messenger RNA vaccine as a vaccine. And as we heard last week, the CDC is now messing with the definition of being fully vaccinated. In an interview I heard recently with Alex Berenson, he made a great point that regardless of the adverse effects from being vaccinated by the messenger RNA method, the vaccine program should be pulled just on the basis of no efficacy. They're pushing a vaccine that builds an immune response to a protein that doesn't even exist anymore. And if you want to get conspiratorial, Berenson and other scientists are starting to see that because the COVID-19 vaccine doesn't fit the protein of the new Omicron variant, the vaccine might suppress the body's ability to identify and fight the Omicron virus. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's something to be considered because the most vaccinated countries have the highest rate of Omicron. So what appears to be happening is that the powers that be in the field of science want to make this new messenger RNA technology work. The politicians want to make it work because they want to save the day. And it sure looks like there is an inherent bias because of these people's faith in science. But it's not working. And nobody wants to tell the truth that the king has no clothing. Now, I have dozens of other news stories and facts about COVID policy that call into question the whole narrative. Maybe I'll do a second program about all this. But I want to conclude by talking about Fauci himself and these global predators. Anthony Fauci has been funding research into viruses over the last 40 years. Looking at viruses in the wild, trying to find cures, it really seems like a noble endeavor. And Fauci, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, has been funding gain-of-function research, where viruses from the wild are adapted genetically to be more harmful and infectious upon humans. You say, that's crazy. Why would anyone want to do that? Well, you're not alone in that concern. During the Obama administration, people complained. And in 2014, there was a moratorium put upon gain-of-function research. But right before President Obama left office, he resumed the research in 2017. But actually, the research never stopped. It was just offshored to other countries. But the concern was that the danger of one of these genetically modified viruses leaking from the lab was greater than the danger of some natural virus in the wilderness making it into the human population. Besides, the Wuhan lab is part of the Communist Party's military complex. It's a bio's weapons lab. And COVID-19 was leaked out of the lab. As I said earlier, it's a fact. Recent internal emails from Fauci reveal that he deliberately worked to squash the story of the lab leak, even though leading scientists were positive it was a modified virus from the Wuhan lab. The conventional wisdom is that these scientists changed their findings because Fauci and the NIH was holding the purse strings. Rand Paul and other legislators have grilled Fauci on this point, and you've seen videos on this. And if the Republicans win in the Senate and the House in the midterms, Rand Paul is planning to prosecute Fauci. So one of the proofs for not trusting the media or the government is the obvious fact that the story of the source of COVID-19 was suppressed. In May of last year, U.S. intelligence agencies did an investigation into the source of the virus. And the conclusion, they said they could not determine its origin. And we're supposed to believe that. When many scientific experts are convinced it came from the lab, and the virus started right at the location of China's lab for bioweapon research. And as further proof for not trusting social media giants, last year, if you mentioned the lab leak theory on Twitter or YouTube, you were censored. But here's the question. Given the obvious danger, why would Fauci and these other actors engage in gain-of-function research? Well, here is Fauci's response in a nutshell. Fauci believes in evolution, and he has said, if we didn't make these changes in the lab, they would happen in nature anyway. Fauci has stated that nature itself is the ultimate bioterrorist. Now, many scientists disagree with Fauci on this, saying nature would never have created this virus, that SARS-CoV-2 could only come about by manipulation in the lab. It would never be an accident of nature. So consider this. If Fauci and these others did not have such a Darwinistic evolutionary worldview driving their policy, the world would have been spared from COVID-19. These scientists thought they needed to play God and help nature along. Again, the evil Bond villain thinking he's doing good. In the words of Dr. Peter Bregan, for these research scientists, their livelihoods, their reputation, their self-worth depends upon the continual financing of a field of science that is immeasurably destructive. Fauci, Bill Gates, and the pharmaceutical industry was willing and able to do anything to get their COVID-19 drugs onto the market, however ineffective and dangerous they may be. Then Bregan goes on to call these people a coalition of global predators. Quote, they are individual billionaires, political leaders, government agencies, giant corporations, industries, universities, the major media, the social media, big tech, and even the international medical and scientific establishment, all of them were all actively benefiting from COVID-19 at the expense of the American people and most of the world, unquote, Dr. Peter Bregan. To me, it looks like everyone, every institution was on board with this misapplication and blind trust in science. The former CBS correspondent, Lara Logan, was censored by a number of platforms because she compared Fauci to Joseph Mengele. Mengele was the Nazi doctor who experimented on the Jews during the Second World War. Now, Logan is no conservative, but she calls them as she sees them. What do you think? Is Fauci and these global actors really trying to help? Or are they global predators making matters worse by their hubris, by their faith in science, by their desire for control? And what errors are going through the minds of these people? And what does the Bible have to say about all this? The Bible has something to say about everything that happens in the world. I've gone long, so I should stop here. But if I were to take a stab at it, it looks like what we're seeing is the same attitude that will arise in the apocalypse. A loyalty and a faith in Babylon the Great. So much so that the world is deluded by its power and influence. Revelation chapter 18, 3, the nations are drunk with the wine of her passion. And Revelation 18, 23, the nations are deceived by her sorcery. That's a really strange phrase, isn't it? All the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And I'm sure you've heard the interpretation that's circulating on the web that since the Greek word for sorcery is the word pharmakeia, this verse is prophetically stating that the COVID vaccine will usher in the worldwide deception and the apocalypse. Well, given the broad meaning of the word pharmakeia, I would not limit it to just the vaccine. But it does apply in principle to the vaccine. What the world is deceived by is all of the technology, all of the science, all of the mass psychosis of the age. They're just simply overimpressed with the world, putting their faith in modern science, both medical science and social science, putting their faith in politicians, looking to man for the answers, and looking to man for salvation. That's what is at the root here. That's a big lesson in all this. Is your faith in man, or is your faith in God? The unsaved put their faith in man, hence humanism, God's people, seeing the sinfulness of man and the pride of man, put their faith and trust in God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes, in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. That is really the issue behind where people fall in regard to all of this COVID policy. Thanks for listening today. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign. And let's end with some Johnny Cash.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.